How many know what I'm talking about when I talk about getting over ourselves? You know, to be the servants of the Lord, to be an expression of God's heart, we can't be centered in self. It has to be in Christ, amen? And our confidence has to be in Him alone. God wants to work through every one of us, and a lot of times we're just so self-conscious. And when I'm self-conscious, I'm preoccupied with what others are doing around me, of what they're thinking about me, or, you know, did I look funny or how I'm dressed or whatever when I'm self-conscious. But when you're Christ-conscious, you don't care, you know, you're just like, I'm here on an assignment to do the will of God, and if people like that, that's good. If they don't like me as a result, that doesn't matter because I'm not in it to be, I'm not, as someone once said, a popularity club, all right? This is not a popularity contest. I want to make Jesus popular. I want to make Jesus famous. We want to exalt the Lord. He deserves it. Amen. Hallelujah. This is all about Jesus. Amen. We want to be centered in Him and not in self. And when you get over yourself, then you're in the position for God to use you. How many know what I'm talking about? When you get past yourself, you're in a position now for God to use you. It means you have to humble your soul. Amen. Submit yourself to the authority of God and the will of God. And when you do that, the security and the confidence of God comes upon you, and you have a supernatural boldness that's given by the Holy Spirit, because we're trusting and leaning upon Him and not in my ability to be a minister or to be able to teach or to pray or whatever. And a lot of people say, well, would you pray today? Well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. Just relax. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. Amen. Just let Him take over for you. Because, you know, if it's of me, then it's not going to benefit anybody. And I just pray, God, I don't want to be doing any ministry up here today. Amen. I want You to do the ministry today. And I just want to be available and a vessel that is yielded to Your Spirit so that You can get the glory. Amen. And not only that, most importantly, is that if there's going to be any changes in you and I, it's going to be because of the grace of God has touched us. Amen. And it's by Him that we are saved. It's of Him. Salvation is of Him and not of us. Amen. I can't be in that place where I'm trying to save self, because I can't save myself. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. So I can't be in the position of self-savior. I've got to get my eyes off me, and I've got to get them on Jesus. Fix my eyes on the prize. I'm looking at You, Jesus. Amen. And He know why He blesses us. Because, yeah, He loves us. And He knows that we can't be a blessing unless He blesses us. Amen. So the blessing is not just for me. God blesses us so we become a blessing. Amen. Amen. To others. Amen. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. To love and to heal and to forgive and to restore and to make new. And to, oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we've been reunited with Him? That we're in Christ today? You know, the devil is after our faith, isn't he? He wants to rob us of our confidence in God. And he also wants us to shift our confidence away from God onto self, which is a big mistake. Because, again, you and I cannot save, we cannot redeem, we cannot change ourselves. We can change habits, but we cannot change our hearts. Only God can change your heart. And when the heart is changed, then the life will bear that evidence, you see. The reflection of God through the heart that has been changed is the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot bear fruit apart from Christ. He said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. So we have to understand that. And the Christian life is not me acting like a Christian or trying to act like a Christian. It is not what we act like, it's who we become. Through the regeneration, through the work of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God in our hearts. So God wants new creations. He doesn't want patch jobs. Amen. And sometimes if we cut ourselves, you know, we put a Band-Aid on it. But sometimes that wound is infected. Amen. And it's going to require more than the Band-Aid. And so God wants to do the surgery. And the Word of God is the surgical tool that He uses to cut deep and to remove those things that are not good for us in our hearts. It causes us to discern between what is right and wrong, what is good and evil, what is of God and what is soulish and devilish. You know, all of us have been raised with a soul, amen? We've had soul life. That's why people are animated, amen? If your soul is not alive, you are dead, right? So we have people that, by all indications, they seem to be alive, but as long as we're separated from God, we're truly not living, are we? So we may have soul life and be animated, but it's not until Jesus Christ comes to dwell within us that we have eternal life. Amen. Life eternal. And so you got to know, first of all, that you are in Christ today, that Christ is in you, that there is a witness of His Spirit with your spirit that you are His son, that you're His daughter. If you do not have that witness, then you are not in Christ. You must know that Christ is in you. Amen. When Christ is in you, there will be a confident assurance. It will be a witness of His Spirit in you, identifying you as one of His own. And what happens is you begin to change. Your thoughts begin to change. You know, your lifestyle begins to change. You start to desire the things that God desires, and you start to hate the things that God hates. If you still love the world and the things of the world, then you need to really question whether you're in Christ or not. Because there are people who claim to be Christians, and yet their life is nothing but a reflection of the world that they live in. And when we come into Christ, something happens, something changes deep down inside. And it doesn't mean that we're perfected overnight, but it does mean that we become a new person, a new creation. Not a patching up of the old thing, not just a self-help moment on Sunday morning, amen? But when we receive the Word of God, it nourishes our spirit. It builds up our spirit. It makes us strong, amen, and healthy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Just like we need daily bread on the table, amen? So we need to eat and drink of Christ, who is our life. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And unless we abide in Him, we can what? Accomplish nothing for God. So God wants a people who are connected to Him in covenant. Now, a covenant is a powerful binding contract between two people or parties. And a contract is that which is not, is usually accompanied by an oath. And so therefore, when somebody enters into a contract, they are saying that I am willing to stand upon this contract and whatever is stated in this contract, whatever that agreement might be, I am going to hold my end of the deal. We know that God is a covenant-keeping God. He is a promise-keeping God. Whatever God promises is always yea and amen. It's always yes. Amen. So, but man is a covenant breaker. Man is a promise breaker. Amen? But God is faithful, and He remains faithful, and He does not change. And so confidence in a God who does not change is the best place to put your confidence. When my hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I am not depending on my goodness, my righteousness, my holiness, but on His. God gives us holiness, righteousness, and goodness. It is the result of Christ in me and the fruit of His life reflected out of my life. Do you get that? As we connect and stay connected to the vine, we receive the nourishment of the Spirit and the Word, and we reflect that in the world. And people will say, you must be one of those Jesus freaks. You must be one of those Jesus followers. Oh, yes. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. I've come out of darkness and into light. I've stepped out of death and into life. Hallelujah. So I want to walk with Jesus. I want to abide in Him who is everlasting life. He is our everlasting life. Amen. It's not a thing. It's a person. You have Christ, you have life. If you do not have Christ, you do not have life. But when you have Christ in you, you become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, hallelujah. So, convenient love versus covenantal love. This is what I talked about last week. What is convenient love? Convenient love is I love you as long as you do this. or do that or have some benefit for me. Covenant love is, I am bound to you and I will love you regardless of any benefit I might receive in return. God's a covenant-keeping God. God loved us not because we were lovely, but because He is love. And He loved His creation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. What? But have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He is a God who keeps His word, keeps His promise. He's a covenant-keeping God. Amen? We are often convenient people. We are in relationships sometimes because, well, she's a good cook. Or she's pretty, or, you know, she can do something for me. Or vice versa. Well, he makes a lot of money, and, you know, so, people are often into some type of relationship because of the benefit that they get out of the relationship. But the love of God is not an eros type or a feeling of love, but it's an unidirectional love that says, I love you irregardless of any benefit I might receive back from you. God simply wants you and I to be with Him. He wants us to be with Him. That was it. He wanted sons and daughters. Amen? It wasn't because we had anything to give Him. Amen? Except maybe our love and our affection back towards Him. But do you understand? Anything that we have is something that we received. What is it that you have right now? Think about all the things that you possess. Think about the talents and the gifts that you have. What is it that you have that you didn't receive? Do you understand? We can't say, I thought I'd be born this way. I'd look this way. I'd have these attributes. I didn't wake up one day and say, man, I'm going to be this good looking. You know, just kidding. Now I'm lying, right? But yeah. None of us had anything to say about it, right? God just determined that you're going to be who you are. Amen? And we should be happy about who we are because God says you're unique. There's nobody else like you on the planet. And if you're not here, somebody's going to miss out. You have something to contribute. You have something to offer. If that was not so, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross for you. You have value. In God's sight, amen? He thought you were redeemable. That's how much He cares about us. You don't die for someone who's worthless. Come on, somebody. God sees value in people. God sees value in us. God wants sons and daughters. He wants us to be with Him. When I'm in convenient love with God, Lord, I'll serve you if you... I'll obey you if you. I'll follow you as long as you. If you give me what I want, I'll do what you want. That's convenient love. But what if God does something contrary to what we thought He should do for us? That will determine the type of love we really have. Are you hearing me? Whether it's covenantal love, or it's just convenient love. Now, let's be honest. All of us came to God with a need, didn't we? And we do have needs, and God knows that. But how many understand that God wants more than just the people that come to Him asking Him for stuff? Or asking Him for help when they're in trouble? You know, there's no atheists in the foxhole, they say. When we're in a dire strait, we're in a bad situation, most people are going to call upon whoever they think God is, the man upstairs. You understand? Because we just want the benefit from God. But do we understand what we need to do is we need to discover the heart of God. We need to discover the love of God and the goodness of God who he is and desire who he is and not just what he can do for us. God wants us to come to him out of love and not just for what we can get from God. How many times have people got what they wanted from God and then you don't see him anymore? Convenient love. Covenantal love is I am married to you. I am a spouse to you. I'm committed to you. Do you get that? Covenantal love is a committed love that says through thick and thin, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do we part. Amen. We are in covenant. That's what a marriage is. Amen. A earthly marriage is to be an example of our heavenly union with Christ. Covenant means we're going to do this together. No matter what the cost, I'm with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Jesus said that. I'll what? Never leave you. That's covenantal love. That's the love of God that says, no matter what, I will not leave you. We have the option to go with him or not, but God always remains faithful. Always remains faithful to his covenantal promise to never leave us. How many have decided to follow Jesus? How many have discovered that it's so much better to follow the Lord? I want to know him. We sing that song, I want to know you more. I really want to know him more. Every once in a while, God just removes the veil a little bit further and I get another glimpse of his goodness. And I can say, God, you've been so good to me. You know, we ask people, how's it been for you? Oh, God has been good to me. The fact of the matter is God has been good to everybody. He's been good to the sinner as well as the saint. That's God's heart. Because he's not willing that anyone should perish. God wants people to be saved. When we say, draw near, press in, let us possess, let us approach. All these phrases that we find in the scripture have nothing to do with God, but everything to do with us. In other words, God remains faithful. He doesn't change. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God says, come, seek me and live. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Faith is confident assurance that if I come to God, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to know God, his heart. Why does God give good gifts to us? Why does God bless us? Because he wants us to see his heart. He doesn't want us to look at the thing we get. He wants us to see him and know him. And walk with him and enjoy him. Have fellowship with him. There is great pleasure. There is great joy in fellowshipping with God. Amen? In the Holy Spirit. Walking with Jesus every day. There's great joy in that. Hallelujah. If it's always a thing about God, give me, good night. Your life will be pretty empty. You may even have stuff, but you're still going to be unsatisfied until you get to know him. There's a lot of people that know a lot about God. There's some people that we call them bibliophiles. They got so much Bible knowledge, right? They're just full of the scriptures and they can quote the scriptures. And, that's great. We should know the word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But if you don't have the substance, if you don't have Christ, then you're nothing more than a modern day Pharisee full of information, and you pride yourself in your knowledge and how you can compare yourself to others and outdo the next Joe and win a Bible debate. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's not what it's about. God gave us His Word so that we might know Him, that we might enjoy Him, that we might walk with Him, that we might fellowship with Him. And He's good. People don't get mad at God are people that don't understand God. People that don't trust God are people that don't know God. When we know He's faithful, when we really believe He's faithful, we know that whatever happens in my life, whether I understand it with my mind or not, God is good. He still remains good. He remains faithful. That's who He is. He doesn't change.
Amen. Right.
The thief came to rob, to kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life. And more abundantly, an overflowing life. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. It's not a quantity thing of faith. It's a quality thing. We need to know, first of all, who we are before we can live out who we are. This is the problem, isn't it? We've heard a lot about this, but it is an identity crisis. Knowing who we are, but also knowing who God is in us. And knowing His character, knowing His nature, knowing His attributes, and knowing that God is indeed a faithful Creator. He is a faithful shepherd of our souls. He is a lover of my soul. God really, really, really loves you. Really, really loves my soul. And God went to all these extremes so I could be brought to Him. Amen. I could be connected to Him in covenantal love. Through the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus, we have been brought near. Knowing, believing God's faithfulness produces faith of the heart. When you and I get to know somebody, you will learn whether or not they can be trusted. That's why the Bible says, know those who labor among you. Amen. Don't be too quick to put somebody in a position of authority without having some time to get to know them and their character, their heart. Because it takes a little time to get to know one another, doesn't it? How many here beside myself have put your trust in somebody before and only to find out that you shouldn't have? But this is where we need to shift our thinking, because God is not like that. He's not like human beings who will say one thing and do another. God is holy. Everything God thinks, says, and does are always in harmony. I need to put my confidence in Him who is holy, who is integrous. That means His word is true. When you really trust somebody, you know they wouldn't lie to you. When you have got to know somebody and know that they are trustworthy, you will put full confidence in their word to you. Are you hearing me? So when we are getting to know God through time spent with God, through relationship with God in His Word and by His Spirit, through the revelation of God through His Spirit, then we come to a greater level of confidence or faith in God, because we know that God is not like the shifting sands. He does not change. He remains faithful. That's His nature. So my confidence has to be in the faithfulness of God and not in my ability to be faithful. But my confidence is in God's faithfulness and not in my ability to be faithful. When I put it into my hands, into my lap, then I become responsible for saving self. Are you hearing me? And there's no grace as long as I'm self-centered and trying in my own strength or efforts to live for God. But when I know God is faithful and my confidence is in Him and His faithfulness and the fact that what He promises He will do, that He does not change, when I have my confidence in His faithfulness, amen, then His faithfulness is manifested in my life. Because you will receive what you believe. You will live what you believe. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can tell what a person believes by spending enough time with them. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And after a while, you find out what they're spending their time doing. If they're full of the Word and the Spirit, you say, well, they've been with Jesus. I can tell. They don't have to have a degree, amen, in theology. They've been with Jesus. They've been with the Master. And out of their belly is flowing rivers of living water. And that's what the world needs, amen. They don't just need intellectual, stuck-up people, amen, that are proud of what they know, but they need people who are loving, amen, and be an expression of God's heart in this world. And that's what we should be, amen, as His people. We don't want to be modern-day Pharisees, right? You know, folks, I want to be honest with you, but there's been times in my life when I've struggled with believing and believing that God loves me. We're in a war. The enemy likes to work on us, doesn't he? He wants to get us to live by sight. He wants us to look at things in the natural and make a spiritual determination based upon what we see. Are you hearing me? If things don't look good, then they're not good. If I'm doing good today, then I'm good. Well, if I'm not doing so good today, then I'm not. Are you hearing me? How many know that God's not like people? He is never changing. He is always consistent, always faithful. Always loving, always good, always gracious. That's God's heart. He's ever true. He doesn't change, amen, His word. He says it. This is the way it is. And because He is an integrous king, what He declares is what He will keep Himself to as well. The Bible says that He has submitted Himself to His own word. He has placed Himself above all of His word. So God submits Himself to His own word. How many like people like that in your life that you know they're people of their word? When they tell you something, you know they mean it. You know they don't have a hidden agenda. But they care about you. They love you. Amen? And even when they know what you really like, they still love you. Isn't it interesting that we as human beings think somehow we can hide from God? Like God wouldn't know what you're doing in secret? Do you understand that God knew you before you had any inclination or any desire at all even to turn to Him or call on Him? He loved you first. It wasn't that we were good, it's because He's good. When God entered into a covenant with mankind, the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, He has bound Himself to this covenant. He does not change His mind. Because He could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself, and that the Father and the Son came into an agreement. Because human beings, mankind, is a promise breaker, God says, I will swear by myself. And He keeps His promise. What God wants you and I to understand is that we must have confidence in the love of God. We must have confidence in the blood of Christ. And not in self. Not in how well I do or perform. Because as soon as I'm putting my focus on self, I may do good for a while, but as soon as I fail, then I condemn myself. And often I end up doing like what Adam did. I just go and run and hide and have a sulking fit in the corner. What I need to do is understand that God remains faithful to me. Even when I make a mistake, I can go to my Father and say, Father, I've sinned. Please forgive me. God knew that we would make mistakes. God knew we would fail. And God knew Peter would fail as well. But Jesus never stopped loving Peter. He had to let Peter go his own way and learn the hard way. But that was the only way for Peter to learn. And so sometimes we're praying for wayward sons and daughters that are away from God for maybe sometimes for many years you've been praying, but know that God is faithful. And that your prayers are not in vain. Don't listen to the devil who would tell you that it's no use. Because he is a God that can do the impossible. With man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing. Did Jesus literally mean nothing is impossible with God? Yes. So I need to stretch into agreement with what God says and understand His faithfulness. God wants us to come to Him. How many beside myself have failed before? Okay. We've established that part. But how many have felt when you failed that now you're unworthy to be around God's people? Now you're unworthy even to pray to God because you're a failure, because you made a mistake. How many know that didn't come from God? Who told you you're naked? Well, it wasn't God. It must have been the devil. Heaping condemnation on God's people to try to rob them of their confidence in approaching God, because he knows if we don't turn to him, we don't have any help. So instead of running to God, the devil tries to get us to run away. When you make a mistake, and we do at times, what do? We immediately run to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Amen? You don't have to live in shame for 6 months and isolate yourself from God's people and feel like, you know, you're unworthy now because you made him. God knew what you were going to do before you did it. And he wants you to have your confidence in his covenantal promise to you. That he's not going to leave you because you made a mistake. But he's there to help you through. If you will come to him, if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Oh, you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter what it was. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He died for all sin. God wants us to live with a clear conscience. With a clean slate. Amen? With a pure heart. With full confidence that I'm in right standing with God because my hope and my confidence is not in self or in performance, but in Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness. My confidence is in the faithfulness of God and not in self. He's faithful to His promise. There's so much to be said here. But I'm going to share Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. This is the New King James Version. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. How many here this morning are raised up with Christ and seated in the heavenly places? Amen. according to your faith, let it be unto you. According to what you believe. What you believe is what you will receive. So I'm not living from earth to heaven. I'm living from heaven to earth. Because I'm united with Christ in heavenly places. I have now an eagle's eye view of things, not the chicken yard view like I used to. What am I trying to say, folks? So often, without realizing it, we are led by our feelings, our emotions. And we allow our feelings to tell us how things really are. There's times when our feelings are a direct result of something we've done, yes. There's times when we have guilt, we have shame. Amen? But God does not want that for His children. God wants His children to have full assurance, full confidence of faith in Him, that He loves His kids. And even though they skin their knees or they do something they shouldn't, He just wants simply His child to come home and apologize. And He forgives and He has a celebration. Amen. For that one that returns home. That's the heart of God. We need to understand that, because if we don't really believe that God is for us, if we don't really believe He's with us, if we really don't believe that He's good, we really don't believe that He's righteous and that He loves me, then I won't have confidence in Him. If I believe that God is only loving me conditionally upon how well I do, then when I'm doing good, then all is well with God. If I make a mistake, now God doesn't love me. God has rejected me, and that is a lie. God is in a covenant with His people. And this covenant is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And God simply wants us to come to Him, to press in to Him, to run after Him, to walk with Him, to enjoy Him, to delight ourselves in Him, to enjoy the abundance of life that He freely gives to His children, and quit listening to the lie of the adversary that condemns, and he wants to squelch you and gag you and stick you in the corner. So, oh, you have no right to speak for Jesus. Do you realize how sinful and terrible you are? The devil tells you. And you know what? The devil is a liar. Are there any perfect people in here? There's only one. Therefore, when we fail, when we make mistake, what do? We immediately run to the Lord. Amen. We put our confidence in that blood that He shed for me, that is there in the very presence of God the Father. Amen. On the mercy seat that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried out for vengeance, the blood of Christ. For mercy. Mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. Father, forgive me, I've sinned. And the prodigal came home. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Make me as one of your hired servants. The father said, are you kidding me? You're my son. You were lost, but now you're found. You've come home. You've come back. We're going to have a celebration. That's the heart of God. Folks, it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Lest we should be proud of our accomplishment. We should compare ourselves with others. Are you hearing me? It's by the grace of God that we live. It's by the grace of God that we're kept. It's by the grace of God that we are in this covenant. Amen. It wasn't because we thought it was a great idea. It was God's intention. Amen. God's idea. The cross was all His. And why did He do it? So that you and I could access Him, that we could come to Him. We could find grace and mercy at this throne of grace. That's amazing. That's amazing love. Folks, let me just tell you this. I just want to encourage you today because your prayers are important to God. He values your prayers. He wants to hear from us. He wants to commune with us. He wants us to know His heart for us, His plans for us that are good, to give us a future and a hope. That's the heart of God, not to condemn but to save. Your prayers are precious to Him. The Bible says in Revelation, it's like a sweet incense, right? That ascends before us. It's a sweet fragrance to God, the prayers of His people. Don't let that devil lie to you and rob you of your privilege as sons and daughters to approach your Father, not by your own goodness, but by His goodness. Not by your own merits, but by the merits of Jesus Christ, His blood. Amen. We come by way of the blood of the covenant. My confidence is in the blood of Jesus. When I come before my Father, He covers me, amen, and qualifies me for His presence. And when I make a mistake, I don't run from Him, I run to Him. Well, so many people are in condemnation, self-condemnation, because the enemy has lied to them. And he's put it all on their shoulders and said, you have to do this. You have to do that. God wants us to come to Him because He knows that if we come to Him and we enjoy fellowship with Him and we continue with Him and abide in Him in this relationship, that all of a sudden you will have all the grace you need, all the ability you need to live a life that is pure and pleasing to Him. Are you hearing me? Not because you're trying hard, but because you're abiding in the One who keeps you. Does that make sense? My confidence has got to be in God. In His ability, not only to save me, but to keep me. In His ability for His daily provision in my life, whatever I have need of, I go to my Father. Amen. I don't worry about... How many would say it's a good idea to trust God and not the government? I think some people's God is the government. And I think the government would like that very much. But we're in a higher kingdom. God may use our government, amen, at times to help people. But the government is not our God. We trust in the living God. There are many times when people are afraid to break off that relationship with the government to start trusting God for their provision. Come on, somebody. How many know that welfare can be a safety net? But it's not supposed to be a continual source of income unless there's some reason why you cannot work. But if we're able to work, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, let him not what? Eat. He shouldn't eat. I don't know why I'm saying this. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to say something about that. But He doesn't want us to put our confidence in man, in institutions. He doesn't want us to put our confidence in money. He wants us to seek Him, His kingdom, above everything else, to pursue Him, to press into Him. This is what we're called to do. God has already made provision. God has got everything available for His children. If we will trust Him and seek Him, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened unto us. If we really have confidence in God, faith in God, then we will trust God for everything, and we will see God's hand work. Amen? Miracle after miracle, because we're not trusting man, but God will take us to places that we could never take ourselves. Amen. He'll do things we could never do for ourselves if we would trust in Him. And you'll do yourself a big favor because you'll get all that stress and worry and anxiety off your shoulders. Because I'm not trusting in me to do it all. I'm partnering with Jesus, amen? We're going to do this together. And God will give me direction. God as a Father is faithful. He's a good Father. And He'll provide for His children. You need provision. You need job, whatever it is. God knows how to put you to the front of the line. God can put you to the front of the line. I've seen that happen a few times in my life. Not because I'm good, but because I trusted him as my father to take care of us when we had a need. And we're his children. And we have favor as children of our Father in heaven. Are you hearing me, somebody? Do you believe that God has favor for your life?
Yes.
Whether we even say it or not, it's true. But if we want to get into unbelief, well, God doesn't love me. I must know that God doesn't do any good for me. My life is just a mess. You ought to see my... If we're just focusing on that, yes. Because why? Whatever's not of faith is sin. It's missing the mark. God's saying, trust me. Believe me. How about something like this? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Well, I need a job right now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How about making the declaration with confidence in your God that he's going to take care of it? How about, and all things give thanks? Amen. Instead of complaining, say, thank you, Father. I don't understand what's going on right now, but it's nothing too big for you and I together to handle. Amen. God will provide for my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. There's been times when we wondered how it's going to happen, but instead of worrying and saying, oh, what are we going to do? We've got to say, God, we're looking to you. We're trusting in you, Father. You're our Father. You said you would provide for us. So, Father, thank you. Thank you in advance. For provision. Hallelujah. You're faithful. You're a covenant keeping God. He's married to us. He's going to take care of his bride. He's going to make her beautiful. He's going to complete the work he began. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.